You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, brought to you by Lacrosse Boots. You already know that Lacrosse makes some badass rubber boots, but did you know they've come out with a new lineup called the Navigator Series? In the Navigator Series, they have the Windrose, and then they also have the Atlas. I rocked the Atlas all year long. Awesome boot. You guys should check it out. They also have some new stuff coming in 2020 that you guys need to keep an eye out, and it's going to be geared more towards the active hunter, someone who is maybe hiking in a long distance, someone that's maybe doing some western hunts as well. So if you want to find out more information on the Navigator Series and the new boots that are coming your way, check out lacrossefootwear.com.
That's what I call pro talk. When you really don't know the answer, you just make it up.
My rut is that I am in a rut.
To get the pilot of Red Arrow going. This is really a way to skip class.
I want to say, hey, those boys right there are entertainers.
There you go. That's the nicest thing anybody's ever said on this podcast.
Alex Rutledge here with American Roots Outdoors TV.
Hey, this is Leanne Tiffany Lekowski from the Crest TV.
Hi, I'm Don Higgins.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
Hey, everybody, this is Mark Drury with Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Craig Fitz of Trained Assassins TV. You're listening to Dave and JP on Pro Talk Outdoors, the craziest two I know.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Pro Talk Outdoors, the first episode we're recording in 2020. So does this mean that hindsight is irrelevant this year?
I was waiting for that to come out, man. I was waiting for it. You know, I guess it's irrelevant. Hindsight's 2020. No, it's 2019's hindsight.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's going to be a fun year for Pro Talk Outdoors and in a rut. This time last year, I know we were already reflecting on a pretty incredible deer season, and whitetail treated us well in 2018, and it did not in 2019.
I'd say it treated you well. It didn't really treat me well. I didn't have a good year in 2018.
No, you didn't have a good year.
Yeah, I've had two stinkers in a row.
2018 was probably my best.
Yeah, it was one of my worst. Unfortunately, I topped that in 2019.
Well, we both struggled in 19, so we're rolling into a new year, and technically there's a little bit of time left in Kentucky deer season, but if we continue to have 50-degree days, it's probably over for us.
Yeah, it's not looking good, that's for sure. I mean, the one thing you hope in late in the season is that you get weather to cooperate, get really cold and nasty, and get those big deer on their feet so you can get them eaten, get them on those real world food plots. Couldn't get that out. And, get them in daylight so you can get an opportunity. And it's just not cooperating at all.
Well, you know, it's funny. You and I had started almost a tradition. Doesn't it take three to make a pattern? And, you know, some folks call a pattern a tradition, where we were going fishing on New Year's Day.
Yeah.
And, you know, it had been ice fishing for 2 years in a row. And this year it was just the right conditions where, obviously, ice fishing was completely out because it hadn't been nearly cold enough. And then it wasn't warm enough to go do any regular bank or boat fishing. It was just kind of miserable. So
yep, bad deal.
We didn't do anything New Year's Day, and it's kind of been a slower start on that.
Kind of sounds like we're depressed a little bit right now.
I'm not depressed, but I'm getting the itch to go fishing, which, you know me, it doesn't take long after the first of the year before it hits me so bad that I want to go bassing.
Yeah, this is that rough time of year where you got, you know, it's either deer season's either over or almost over, and then it's too early to go shed hunting. It's too early to start working on, not really too early to work on land improvement, but you know, I don't feel like doing it right now. And you get into the ATA shows coming up here in the next week or so, and then you get into the trade show season, and it's just kind of like, let's just skip on up to finding some sheds, and then we'll get some food plots in the ground, mm-hmm. and turkey hunt and bass fish and get it all going.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just doing high school basketball on the radio right now. It's kind of a little entertainment and fun on the side, and that's it until we get started on some of that other stuff. But, you know, as far as rolling into a new year and things of that nature, we kind of want to spend a little bit of time kicking the year off about how you can make yourself better. And some people do the New Year's resolutions. I know every morning I'm in the gym now. I can't get a darn shower when I'm done because the amount of people that are in the gym has tripled. And I know it's going to wear off by the end of the year. Super glad these people
the
are...
end of the year. Or by try the end of the month.
The end of the month, I mean.
Yeah.
I'm super glad these people are trying it, but for now it's... You know, it is what it is. But in the spirit of a resolution or making yourself better, instead of doing something frivolous that you don't commit to, we kind of want to focus on something as outdoorsmen and outdoors women, if you prefer to be separated like that, that you can do to paint yourself and the community in a better light.
And that's really important.
It really is. And I've had this conversation with you before, and I'll leave it at this. It's been tough for me since you and I have joined in on this hunting community and launched Pro Talk Outdoors a few years ago.
You're talking about the industry itself, not just
I'm talking
as a hunter.
I'm talking the industry itself. You know, I've had so much fun. It's been such a rewarding experience, but more in the last calendar year than ever before. And it had been mounting up a little bit, but especially the last calendar year or so, it has been incredibly difficult for me to continue to identify as a member of the hunting community, and that's not me being a bleeding heart millennial. It's me being honest that so many people do this the wrong way in terms of how they treat one another within the community or paint the light of everybody. You know, they just make everybody look bad by some of the dumbass things they do. Pardon my French.
Yeah, and you know what? And I'll be. And you probably noticed this with some of my social media posts, and it even gets into a little bit political sometimes with me, but I really struggle now, and I think it's my I don't want to call it old age, my middle age.
Getting old, Coach.
That I see things, and I'm like, man, I just want to take that young man aside or that young lady aside and just say, what the hell are you doing? Mm-hmm. You know, look, do you realize what this looks like? To somebody that's watching this or somebody that's seeing this, do you realize what kind of negativity you're bringing down on not just you, but me also and my kids and my grandkids and everybody? It's the entire – because all you got to do is just one idiotic thing, and all of a sudden everybody that sees that has got that perception of every hunter is an idiot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it sticks with so many folks that just get a glance here or there of this or that. And, you know, perception is reality in this world, and that's not something that's new. I think it's accentuated because of media and how everything is in your face at all times. But just be a good freaking person. It's not that hard. And I don't have that same desire that you do to pull somebody aside and coach them on it. I wish I did. But damn it, just be a good person. It's not that hard.
You'll get there. You got another 20 years
to
go.
I don't know if I want to get there. I want people to act
right.
Trust
me, you don't want to get there. But, you know, and folks, if you're not sure what we're talking about, we're talking about things like what you saw in Pennsylvania with the two knuckleheads over there just beating a deer about the head.
I'm so disgusted.
And, you know, things like that. You know, just the people that are poaching and bragging about it online. Just so many daggone things that are just really distasteful and disgusting. And I guess what we're saying is, as hunters and outdoors folks, we can be our own worst enemy. And sometimes I think that's exactly what we're doing. And we really got to refocus.
I hope we struck a nerve with you. It obviously struck a nerve with me. And we're going to talk to somebody that has a lot of firsthand experience in this kind of thing. We'll be back. You're listening to Pro Talk Outdoors. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Pro Talk Outdoors. JP and Dave here, and we're joined by somebody that knows exactly what it's like to try to paint herself and the community, the hunting community, outdoor community, just in a positive light. And Kendall, number one, thank you so much for coming on the show. But number two, what kind of things can folks within the hunting industry and community and fishing industry, everybody just pay more attention at painting each other in a good light and show these activities as wholesome and not something negative and really just stop with all the negativity? What's the best thing somebody can do to take steps to do that for one another?
Well, hello. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. And that is a very good question. I get asked that question quite a bit, and just the divide that we have within our own industry. I always think I never get on social media and tell people what they're doing wrong or what they don't like. I just don't think that's beneficial to anyone. If you don't like it, then just move on with your life. Like, don't let it affect you that much.
That's good advice, because as me being a little bit older, I get a little crotchety sometimes, and it's so hard for me to bite my tongue and not say, man, quit that.
And see, Kendall, I'm closer to your age. I don't see things the way Dave sees them at all the time, but my whole thing is it's not that hard to be a good person. You know, I don't want to go out and correct somebody or pull them aside and try to show them that what they're doing is pulling everybody down. I just wish they would have enough sense to be a good person from the start.
Exactly. Like, I mean, especially with social media, the industry has changed so much over the past couple years. And it has also caused a lot of hate. I think that we, as a hunting industry and fishing industry, divide ourselves just because we don't like the way someone promotes hunting on social media. And I was going somewhere with this, and I totally forgot.
Well, I tell you what. I know that a lot of folks, whenever they see your name on this podcast, they're going to kind of know your background, your history a little bit. But I think it's probably beneficial for those that maybe haven't heard your story. Just give us a brief synopsis of kind of how you were not necessarily trying to be forced into the limelight, but you got put there.
Yes, absolutely. So, yeah, I have hunted since I was a child, and I'm an only child, so I was my dad's little girl. And he would always take me hunting and fishing and do all the outdoor things and treated me like I was a boy. So I just knew from an early age that I loved hunting and I loved what it was about and why we do it. And so whenever I was 19, I had been to Africa a couple of times before, but whenever I was 19 is kind of whenever I got shot into the limelight. And I went over to South Africa and I was on the quest to shoot Dangerous Seven. And for those of you that don't know what the Dangerous Seven are, it's a leopard, lion, elephant, Cape buffalo, rhino. Those are the big five. And then if you add on the hippo and the crocodile, that becomes a Dangerous Seven. So I went over there wanting to get my Dangerous Seven. And about halfway through, I had shot my leopard and my elephant. And then I was on my hunt for my lion. And I had been posting it on social media, and the traction like came a little bit with the leopard and elephant, and then the lion just set everyone off. And there was a ton of news articles and social media threats and from all over the world. So I literally gained my followers overnight. And just since then, that was back in 2014. And since then, I've kind of turned my platform around as to what people actually think of me, because I love hunting in Africa. I love just being outdoors, and it's so special over there in South Africa. So people always ask, would I do it again? And yes, absolutely, because it's what I love to do, and I know why I do it and the benefits that come from it. So I was kind of just starting to have a platform, and I try to just promote it the best for hunters in general. And I do hunting that a lot of people don't do, and other people do hunting that I never do. And so back to what we were talking about, why bring someone else down just because they hunt different than you? At least they're getting outdoors and continuing our passion and passing it down to the next generation.
That's a great point, and I'm sure you see a lot of different things than what JP and I do. We're in Southern Indiana, so I mean, we probably don't see the same type of, let's call them, disagreements that you may see necessarily. But you know, there's one that I see all the time, and honestly, I can see both sides of it. I really do. But at the same time, I try to see the greater good in squashing the conversation. But it's the crossbow thing. You know, folks talk about the negativity of crossbows and what it's doing to the archery industry and doing to, you know, maybe your local deer herds and everything. And I just see that as something that's not being positive for the hunting community. But at the same time, I do see where it can be detrimental to the archery community. So it's kind of a double-edged sword there.
Catch 22 a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I kind of see your point on both sides. I actually just started hunting with a crossbow this year. It was a weapon I never tried, and I had the opportunity to partner with 10-point crossbows, and I actually learned so much about crossbows that get the negativity that they do throughout using it this year. I actually took it to Africa and hunted a handful of animals over there. I want to say that I shot 5 animals over there with a crossbow. And I think there's so many benefits to it, but I also see the negative side of it too, but that's with anything, I believe. I think if there's a positive, there's going to be a negative somewhere else. So yes, it might be hurting the archery industry a little bit, but it's also a great alternative weapon for some people that can't shoot a bow. There's plenty of people out there that have shoulder surgeries or have a disability or can't pull back a regular bow, that this gives them an opportunity to still get outdoors and do something within the archery industry.
Absolutely, it is. And again, it's just, we need to make sure we don't have that divide. I mean, I want to get your take on something now. I don't know if it, I hope it's not, doesn't come across negative or anything, but I'm sure you've seen the two younger guys that were just literally beating the hell out of that deer physically in Pennsylvania. I'm sure you saw that somewhere, haven't you?
I actually haven't. I'll have to look.
Really? Wow. What? Okay, yeah. Now I know for sure, Kendall, you're telling the truth. You do not get on social media. Because
I was literally about to say that, like, for the past, like, month or so, like, I've been on there posting, but I haven't really had time to just get on there and look and see what's going on. I've been so busy since November that social media has been on the back burner for me.
Well, I'm in the same camp as you. Dave told me about it, I think, either late November or early December, and I kind of made the conscious decision to not go seek that out, and you know, if I saw it, to scroll past it quickly. And I, your summary of it was enough for me, but essentially, Kendall, just to let you know what was going on, these two young hunters essentially wounded a deer, and it was not a lethal shot, but he was down, and they went up and physically kicked and did other harmful, horrible things without doing the ethical thing and you know, having a kill shot there, and posted it online and laughing and some other pretty disgusting things within the video.
I think there were Snapchat videos.
Snapchat
like
videos.
That, yeah.
Pretty horrible scene, obviously. And I kind of made the choice that some folks have made, and I didn't want to seek that out and physically see it myself after hearing kind of what the deal was. But I guess just to use that as a bridge here, things like that obviously paint the whole community in a pretty bad light. What can somebody as an individual do to sort of take an inch step forward every time they put something online that's related to that, to get things going back in the right direction, to really show what these activities are in truth rather than just what that small select few of dummies would be? What can somebody do or focus on to make that happen?
Yeah, that's a good question, and I had no idea about that, and I think I agree with you. I'm not going to go seek out that video because that's just not something I want to see, and I hate the interpretation that hunters hate animals. That's like, I get that question all the time, like, how can you hate or how can you love animals and then kill them? And hunters aren't just killers out there, and people like that put that out there, they are the ones that there should be the divide from, not the ones that are worried about shooting a bow versus a crossbow. We need a divide between actual hunters, true hunters that know what it's about, and then the unethical ones that paint all of us in a bad light. So to counteract that, I would say, like, I always try to do this in a couple of my posts. I definitely don't do it in all of them, but give facts in your post, like, give a cool statistic, like, let people know why you're doing it and not just let them see a dead animal saying, like, big buck down.
That's a really good idea.
Which, I mean, I definitely do post pictures that don't have a descriptive caption, but then I always try to, at least from one picture in my hunt, explain what I'm doing and why I'm doing it, and just trying to educate people. But a lot of people that follow me that aren't hunters that think it's cool and want to get into it.
Well, I want to key in on a little bit of your philanthropic efforts as well. You're not just doing your best to change the image in the industry for some of these folks that bring negative light, but you're a philanthropic individual as well. And I know you have a lot of charities that you participate in. How did you find some of these? How do you select them? And tell us a little bit about why they're near and dear to your heart.
Yeah, so the philanthropy work that I do is just something that I do from my house, and most of the time it's by myself, but my mom will help me, and I have a girl that works for me that she helps me, and sometimes my friends come around. So it's just something I do. It's not necessarily a nonprofit, but within that, in the money I raise, I donate it. I work with different nonprofits and donate to them. So there's a few local charities that local to me that are like the Women's Crisis Center and like the Children's Advocacy and Heart for Kids and local churches that I work with. And like for my Christmas angel auction, I ask all of them if they have any kids that need help buying Christmas. And so they'll send me their names and their wish list and kind of give me a little bit of a description of what's going on. I mean, they can't really say too much. But so I know it's like actual people that need help. And that's what I really like about what I have been doing. I have worked with the Salvation Army in the past, but it's not as personable. So I can't understand like what more about the kids and try to actually get them a Christmas that they like. So that's how I do the Christmas angel one. And then my back to school fundraiser, I just raise money on like a GoFundMe account, and I go out and buy school supplies, and I get the local listings that are right around me, and then I either take them to schools or I work with those charities to see which kids need school supplies, and I donate them back to.
You know, I want to commend you. A lot of folks within the industry will make sure and focus on charities only within the industry, and I think that's great, but I really love the fact that you don't feel the need to do that or key in on all of the same things that cross over with some of your other, you know, social or online or professional interests. So I want to commend you on just doing things that are true to your heart. That's very authentic. So props to you for that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I really like doing this. I mean, how it all started was me and my mom always used to buy Christmas angels growing up. Like, I can't remember a Christmas that passed that we didn't buy at least like 3 kids angels. And I just loved doing it so much. And I kept wanting to buy more, but my bank account said no. And
I know that
so
feeling.
So I found a way to be able to use my following and as well as provide for local charities and kids that need a little extra help.
Well, that's great. I want to switch gears a little bit there, Kendall, unless you got any other charities you want to talk about. Yet.
I mean, one of the other big ones that I do is I work with, this one is actually within the industry. So yeah, I love doing those ones on my own that just help out the local people. And I can reach out to my followers and I help some of them sometimes as well. But I also do Trinity Oaks, which is a nonprofit based out of San Antonio, Texas. And each year they do a young girls turkey hunt, and so I go and volunteer and I guide the little girls. They all range from like 8 to probably 15 or 16, and there's like 6 to 8 girls in each group, and they get to come out and shoot a turkey for free of charge.
That is amazing. That's a really good one there. I like that.
Yeah. But those are my main 3 that I really have going. Of course, I would like to expand, but time kind of limits it.
So, Kendall, I was, I think, I don't know, it's been a couple weeks back, maybe a few weeks back, that I saw your video on YouTube. It's basically your story, and I don't want to mess up the title. What's the title of that?
Kendall Jones, A Relentless True Story.
Okay. Yeah, so, and that was really amazing, and we've already talked a little bit about, you know, your past there and how you got, you know, kind of thrust into the limelight a little bit there. But you take care of an entire ranch now, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't do it alone, but that is definitely one of my responsibilities now.
Okay, so you do have some help on that at least. That's good. How big's the ranch?
Oh, yeah, I could not do this by myself at all. I mean, So the ranch was my dad's. And whenever he passed away, we have the ranch in Alabama, and we didn't live out here for 3 years. And now we live here. And I hired a girl that helps me in the office. So she helps me with my brand, but as well as the ranches, the Starbuck Ranch. And then we also have make new roads and do the boy work and stuff. And that kind of keeps it in line. And me and my mom, we do more of like the decision making and like new ideas and all that kind of stuff.
Awesome. How big is the ranch?
The ranch is a little over 800 acres.
Oh, wow.
I would round up and say 1,000 acres.
You know, that's tough for coming from southern Indiana. That's kind of hard to wrap your mind around because, you know, where we're at, we hunt parcels in the size of like 40 acres.
Yep.
You know, that's kind of what we're doing here. You know, if you have a 100-acre parcel, you're walking in tall cotton, you know, and
that's funny because here that isn't a big ranch at all.
yeah, no, that's really small.
I wouldn't say at all. It's still a lot of land, but there's definitely a lot bigger ones.
What type of wildlife you have on the ranch there?
So it is a high fence exotic game ranch, and we have, of course, we have whitetail, but we also have axis and addicts and fallow and wildebeest and zebra, and we in different kinds of ram. We probably have 12 different species.
Sweet. So, I mean, do you have hunts there that you have folks come in and hunt those, or I mean, how do you manage that population?
So it's an operating hunting ranch, but
okay. We
also do breeding as well, just like growing the herds and making sure like the animals populate, and then we have sold them before we buy them, so it's all a business.
Sounds like you have a lot of irons in the fire.
Yes, but I do want to say, since you do have y'all don't have a lot of high fence ranches there, do y'all?
No, we just, I don't know of any, actually. I mean, I'm sure there's some in the state somewhere, but to us, Texas is almost like a different country altogether. I mean, it's totally different.
I can't disagree there.
Yeah, I mean, what we're hunting, we hunt, it's a mixture of hardwoods and ag. And it's, you know, we hunt Kentucky and Indiana and have hunted Illinois and different states.
I've been up there and, like, kind of been, I didn't know if y'all had high fences. But,
no.
So that goes back to what we first started talking about, was the divide within our industry. And I know high fence hunting gets, like, a lot of flack, and I personally don't go on any of the high fence hunts around here. I don't even hunt my ranch, except we do have like 50 acres low fence that I will try to sit in a few times a year. But what people get mad about the high fence, they just think it's a free for all. And that's not what it's all about. It's like they're contained and they can't get out. But really, some of the animals we have on our ranch are extinct or endangered in their native country. So, like, where they came from, and that's one of the responsibilities of having a high fence ranch, is making sure those numbers populate and grow the herds, and make sure those animals aren't ever going to go extinct. And so, I think that a lot of people might feel weird about it, and I get it. I understand why people don't like high fence hunting, and I totally understand. But people need to know that there's a good that goes behind it as well.
Absolutely. I mean, and I know there's things like captive deer herds that you know are beneficial. But like you said, it kind of goes back to the whole thing. Just because Dave Barrett doesn't want to go and hunt in a high fenced ranch doesn't mean that it's not okay for Kendall Jones or, you know, Johnny Pace or anybody. You know, and we need to make sure that we are doing the best we can to create a united front when we're going against anti-hunters and the perception that we put out there, because...
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head, Kendall. I mean, if you don't agree with something, then stay out of it. And if it's if it's positive, you do agree with it, and you think it paints the entire activity in a good light, well, then chime in on it or share it or...
Yeah, promote that and just ignore what you don't like and hope not everybody gets persuaded by it.
100%.
But another thing about high-fence hunting that I think is great is I think it allows the opportunity for people to get into the outdoors, like people that don't really know much. They want to go on a hunt, but they don't want it to be super-duper hard. Like, they've never been out in a blind before, or they want to bring their kids, or there's older people that won't ever get the opportunity to go to a different country to kill some of these animals. It gives them the opportunity, and especially like with disabled veterans or disabled kids or kids that are sick, I think high fence hunting is great for those opportunities. It's still getting people in the outdoors.
Well, Kendall, thank you so much for sharing on not only the ranch, but your story, the philanthropic efforts, chiming in with us on a little bit of a spiel here. We've gone on about just doing things the right way online and out in the public. So thank you so much. We want to give you the chance to tell everybody where they can keep up with you and what you have coming for 2020, just where they can find out more about Kendall Jones.
Yeah, I have a lot of things in the works for 2020. I'm super excited about it. I actually leave for ATA tomorrow, and that starts trade show season. So I'll be at a lot of the shows. If any of you guys will be there, be sure to check out my media.
JP's not able to make it there, but, you know, I'll be there with my fiance, and we'll probably catch up with you and say hello.
Yeah, and if any of your listeners want to come and see me at some of the shows, I'll be posting a schedule of when I'll be at what booth and whatnot. So I'd love for everyone to come by and say hi.
That sounds good. And what is your your social media? Is it just under Kendall Jones?
My Instagram is _KendallJones_. My Facebook is official Kendall Jones. And my YouTube, you can just youtube.com/KendallJones.
Awesome.
Very good.
Well, thank you so much. Hang with us through the break. You're listening to Pro Talk Outdoors. All right, guys. We're going to put the bow on this and the finishing touches. Hope everybody had a great holiday, a good Christmas, Thanksgiving, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whatever the heck it is you celebrate, a new year. Make 2020 awesome. You know, I'm not much on the standard cliche resolutions, but I think if you're not always trying to be a better person every single day, then something wrong with you. You don't need a January 1st to inspire you to do that.
Let me tell you what my New Year's resolution is.
What is it?
Catch a ton of fish.
Man,
big
don't
fish.
Say those things to me.
I can't wait, man.
That's my love.
And then, obviously, I mean, hopefully weather will cooperate and we'll have better food plots than we had this year because of the drought. And no EHD, and we're going to kill some big deer next year, too.
Well,
or this year. This year.
You know, last year I had a pretty good outdoors year. I don't think I gave it the due that I should have. I killed 2 turkeys, each of them on opening day of the respective state. I caught a giant smallmouth bass, and I caught some other good fish. Had a few great hunts sitting in the tree with you, even though we didn't, you know, get a chance at a shot at a big deer. All in all, man, it was still a great year, even though I didn't fill a buck tag.
Yeah, I haven't filled a buck tag yet.
It's not over.
But, you know, I will say, looking back on it, it's been a fantastic year. Been on some great fishing trips with you, with Savannah, and kids, and... we've caught a lot of fish, a lot of really good fish. Caught a couple muskie, which was just bucket list stuff for me.
That was awesome.
A lot of good turkey hunts. You know, couldn't ask for a better year. It's been a great year, and I'm ready to do it again 2020.
Well, okay, then let's just wrap it up with this. Give me 3 things you want to accomplish in the outdoors for 2020. I'm putting you on the spot.
I'm going to say 1 thing.
You're not giving me 3?
No, I'm not going to give you 3. It's all about 1. It's kind of going to run together a little bit. I just want to enjoy the year with my family and friends.
Okay, that's fair. And you remember that was on my list last year, was to spend more time in the tree with my friends and people I was close to, or on the boat or anywhere.
Yeah, because honestly, and I mean this 100%, and I'm in a good place with it, I don't have to fill a tag to feel like I've had a good year.
No, not at all.
I really just enjoy spending time. Like, I love going fishing and hunting with Savannah, mm-hmm. and I mm-hmm. love going fishing with you. And hell, I love fishing, man. So I just want to go fishing all the time. But it's the entire experience. I just really enjoy it. And it makes it so much sweeter when you get to enjoy it with friends and family. It really does. I know it sounds cliche, but it sends it over the top. It's just a great experience. So and that's my wish for 2020. And also I'll add a second one. I hope that everybody listening to this can do the same and spend time with their friends and family and enjoy their outdoors.
Well, I'm not going to cheat. I'm going to honor my own question, even though I really do like your answer. I'm going to give three. So number one is experience something in the outdoors I've never experienced, whether that's, you know, chasing a fish I've never chased, catching a fish I've never caught, chasing a species in the woods or a field that I've never – just do something I've right. never, ever done. Number two, take somebody out that's never, ever done it before, that's never experienced something within the outdoors. I don't know who it is or what activity it is, but that's on the list. And number three is wake up and walk out into the field or the woods on the farm that I'm moving on to and have it be mine for the very first time ever instead of a place that I have permission to go.
Yeah, yeah, that was awesome. We went out there and was, you know, gonna shoot some guns, and it was pretty awesome just being out there. I can only imagine how you felt, the pride and the fact of the ownership of the property. But
it's pretty awesome.
What a beautiful piece of property, and so quiet. And I just love that it's deafening noise of quiet.
It's serene, and it's going to be a dream come true. Looking forward to what 2020 has in store for that. And, man, hey, thank you so much for everything. And I know you're going
to be my pleasure, man.
A big help on that, especially digging those post holes, man.
Oh, yeah.
All right, guys. Well, that's it for today. Until next time, hook 'em or hunt 'em. Pro Talk Outdoors.
Later, guys.